but for reasons differently than you guess. I'm without my wife today, and she's been with her mom for the past 3 weeks as my mother-in-law's had a battle with cancer and also had hip and femur bone replacement surgery. And it's been quite a challenging time. I've been on the road with our final two. I've got one child married now, my oldest, and my second child married now. And Matthew's in Bible college, so Jake and Charity are with me. Charity's over in Sunday school with the sixth graders, and Jacob is downstairs with your teenagers, and evangelist Nicholas Anderson, who joined our team a few weeks ago. And I'm sure glad they're here all with us. But I've been having a good couple of weeks here doing hair, my little girl's hair. That's been exciting. And I've been ironing little girl clothes. I just want to thank God I'm a man. Men's clothes are easier to iron than little girl's clothes. Did you all know that? And I just want to testify about that and say praise the Lord for that. And I'm so glad to be with you guys. So glad that I get to have a little reacquaintance here with Brother Stevens. And I'm so thankful for him. We've had great meetings together down through the years. And it's just a real privilege not only to be with you, but to get to be with him. And I'm glad Brother Wakefield's here. And no baby coming this time. Every time I come, normally he's having a baby. So we got to pray about that. I'm telling you, more than one way to grow a church. You either have one or bring one. And it's time he picks it up there. They need a little girl. How many of you will pray with me this week for twin girls? How many pray? Don't you think he'd look good with twin girls? But he's sure doing a good job with those boys, and praise the Lord for him. It's just such a blessing to serve the Lord. You know that, don't you? And such a blessing to be with you. It's a revival week, and this will go by very quickly. We have 4 days together, and I hope you'll do a couple of things. Number one, I hope you'll do your very best to be in every service. Let the Lord work in your heart. You know I work hard not to be long-winded, to be wise about time. And seriously, I know sometimes we can be oversensitive about that, but we do live in a very scheduled culture. And so we try to be wise about that. You know, if we have a night in which, you know, 35 people get saved and that takes an extra 20 minutes, you'd give it, wouldn't you? But if you're given 20 minutes just because a guy's rambling, then you'll stay home the next night. So we're going to be wise about time. Come to every service. I know some of you have children that are in school, and I know that. I'm homeschooling these two of mine. And as I know, life is busy. Come to every service. Secondly, will you pray extra this week for our 4 days together? How many of y'all believe that God answers prayer? Do you? You really believe that? So pray extra. What would you really like to see God do? I mean, we can pray generally. Lord, give us good services and bless the services and help Brother Young not to be boring. We could pray all kinds of general things. But you know, it'd be great to see some miracle answer to prayers, wouldn't it? To see somebody who's far from God because we prayed come back to God. Wouldn't that put you on shouting ground? Maybe it's God's week to work in your children's heart. Maybe your son or daughter's far from God, and this could be a great week. Pray extra that God will do great things. And then do one more thing, will you? Witness to somebody this week. Now, we got 4 days together. You can start today or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Try to win somebody to Jesus this week. How long has that been for you? Since you really talked to somebody and really went out of your way. Have you visited somebody lately just to tell them about Jesus? Just to really show up, knock on their door and say, hey, I just want you to know I drove over here today because I want to talk to you about Jesus. It's been a long time since I talked to you, and I want you to be saved, or I want you to come back to Jesus. I'm telling you, it'd be amazing what God would do if every one of us tried to reach somebody for Jesus in these 4 days. And wouldn't it be glorious if all of us did? Wouldn't it be great if all of us got somebody saved and they were in church next Sunday morning? You'd have to find a different seat. Somebody would sit in your seat. Wouldn't that mess you up? You wouldn't know what the pulpit looks like from the other side. And might even have to move to the balcony. Some of you folks in the balcony have to move down, get closer. I appreciate you all up there because the farther back you get, the better I look. And so bless you guys up there in the balcony and all of us in this room. So will you do that? Will you come to every service? And will you pray extra, and will you try to win somebody to Jesus these next 4 days? And if you'll do it, the Lord will meet with us. It'll be an incredible, good revival together. Now, my favorite book of the Bible might be the book of Ephesians. It's real close to Ephesians for me, or to Philippians for me. Philippians and Ephesians are my top two. And sometimes I say, you know, Ephesians is my favorite, and sometimes I say Philippians is my favorite. Which one would be yours if you had to choose between the two? Would you choose Philippians? A lot of you would. I like Ephesians because it's revival, but I'm in Philippians this morning, maybe my favorite book of the Bible, and I want to read in chapter 2, the first 5 verses. Do you know them? These are familiar verses. This is a glorious book of four chapters, phenomenal book. The subject of the book might very well be Christ in a man. Paul's in prison, and he's rejoicing, and he's just happy, although he's suffering, and all of it because Christ is in him, and he's just pursuing Jesus, and he's on fire for Jesus. He gives us a little nugget of truth in these five verses in Philippians 2, verse 1 through verse 5, that's always good for a Christian. And the Bible says in verse 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now, the thought doesn't stop there, but for sake of time, I'm going to pause there. You know the verses to follow are about the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself and became a baby, humbled himself, became a man, humbled himself, became a servant, humbled himself, became obedient to death, so that you and I could have everlasting life. And to that, I would say amen, wouldn't you? Praise God that Jesus did all of that for us. There's a little nugget of truth right here that I wanted to zero in on, and it's a little truth about unity. How many of y'all believe that unity is important? You believe that? Because here's what he says in verse 2. I like that first phrase, "Fulfill ye my joy." Can I give that to you in Tennessee? Hey, I want you to make me happy. I want you to make me happy, church. He's talking to the church at Philippi. Make me happy, will you? And here's how I want you to make me happy. He says, I want you to be like-minded. I want all of you to have the same love. I want you to be in one accord. I want you to be in one mind. Don't do anything because of strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, in humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Don't look on your own things, but look on the things of others as well. And then he says in verse 5, just like Jesus did. So it's an incredible five verses. So I want to preach a Sunday school message today as we kick off our revival. I guess I would title it, United We Stand. United We Stand. I read a story the other day of a New York Yankee who moved west, and he bought a ranch. And after he'd been there about 4 or 5 years, a friend from New York came to visit him. And his friend said to him, "What did you name your ranch?" And his New Yorker turned rancher friend said, "Well, I wanted to name it the Bar J. My wife wanted to call it the Susie Q. My son wanted to call it the Flying W. And my other son wanted to call it the Lazy Y." He said, "Well, what did y'all call it?" He said, "Well, we just all got together and named it the Susie Q Flying W Lazy Y Ranch." And his New York friend said, "Where's your cattle?" He said, "We don't have any. They didn't survive the branding." Now, I suppose that's just a made-up story, obviously, a made-up story. But it was a good reminder to me of the importance of unity. If we're not careful, we can all go different directions, and unity is one of the most important things in the Bible. In the Bible, it's a blessed matter. How many of you are married this morning? If you're married, raise your hand good and high. If you're happily married, wave it like this, would you? All right, that's most of you. That's good. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and you know, unity in a marriage is important, isn't it? Unity in a marriage, when you're on the same page. How many of your marriage ever have disagreements? Any married folks honest this morning? Any honest people, you ever have a disagreement in a marriage? Sure you do. And yet when all is well, when everything's clicking on all cylinders and running on all cylinders and everything's just where it ought to be and all is well, when your marriage is in unity, how many of you agree? That's a really special thing, isn't it? That's an amazing thing. When you're just madly in love and she thinks you're the man and you think she's the beautiful, most beautiful person you ever met in the world, and you're in absolute unity, that's an incredible thing. You younger parents in the room that are raising children, unity's important in parenting, especially when you're younger. How many of you have children? Let me see your hand. You have children? Isn't it great to have children? I'm looking forward to those twins. I'm just telling, it's going to be great. I love being a daddy. And you know, children are amazing in their ability to work one parent against the other. And we just tell our kids, if you ever get an answer from dad and go to mom to get a different answer, it's an automatic spanking matter. I'm thankful that I grew up without spankings. My dad didn't believe in them. Never got a spanking in my life. because my dad only gave whoopings. How many of y'all identify with that? You identify with that? Man, did my dad know how to give you a whooping. He'd cut down a tree and wear you out. And he called it a switch, but I was there. I knew better. That wasn't a switch. That was a tree. And yet, I always told my kids, you never work one parent against the other. When parents are in unity, that's important. That's vital. It's important for a church to be in unity, isn't it? God blesses a church in unity when we're all on the same page. How many of you are aware of the fact that unity in a church can be a real challenging thing? It just can. You know why? Because church is made up of people. My dad-in-law's in heaven now, and he is my pastor for almost 20 years. And Pastor Dennis said one day to me, we were going hunting together. We're riding along in the truck, and he was being kind of quiet. And he said, you know, son, he said, if I didn't have people in my church, I wouldn't have any problems at all. And I scratched my head, and I thought, well, I guess that makes sense, doesn't it? Of course, if you didn't have people in your church, you wouldn't have a church either. And anytime you get people together, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing how even in a marriage, two families come together with such diversity and you have to work at being one in your marriage? That's unity. It's important in a marriage, in a family. It's important in a church. Unity. I remember when Beth and I got married, I grew up here in Tennessee between Oak Ridge and Oneida, a little town called Wartburg. Wartburg, Tennessee. And that was my hometown. I'm a Tennessee Vols fan and a sad one. Is it okay to fast and pray for a team? I feel like they need it. But I love those Vols. I grew up here. We were clannish. We were also private. We said, I love you on special occasions. Like, you know, you're born, you get married, you die. Special occasions. Now, my wife's family, they're Yankees. They're totally different. They're from the north. My family's quiet. Her family's loud. That's the truth, too, isn't it? Pastor, her family, her mother's loud, isn't she? I mean, she's a loud lady. My mom's real quiet, her mom's real loud. My family says, I love you on special occasions. Her family says, I love you for no reason, just because. Just, I love you. Bethany's dad called me Davidson, like Harley Davidson. And Davidson, he would say, Davidson, I love you. He called me all the time, and especially after he retired. He was my prayer partner after he retired. And he spent his retirement years praying for me. And he called me all the time. And he'd, you know, hey, David, son, how you doing? How's my daughter? How are my grandkids? And he closed every phone conversation. Dad Dennis would say to me, now, son, I give you permission to soundly kiss my daughter. And so I'd hang up the phone and say, honey, he told me to. And that's your daddy. We got to obey your daddy. And I come over here and lay a big one on me. We were so different, our family. So different. So different. And yet you come together, we got married, I do, we got married, and we had to work on being unity. Now it's a new family. You remember the verse about that, don't you? For this cause a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and they too shall be what? Shall be one. Now Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, let's talk about unity. Because God wants his people in this text, he says, to be like-minded. In this text, to be of the same love, to be of one accord. One accord, to have one mind, to do nothing through strife or vainglory. Certainly that applies to a marriage. It applies to a family. One of the ways I notice that it applies in the Bible is in prayer. Have you read in the Bible that anybody can pray? You know that's the truth. God is a God who hears prayer. That's one of his names. Did you know that? You look it up in the book of Psalms and you'll find out that one of the names of our God is Thou That Hearest Prayer. That's the name of our God. He's a God that hears prayer. You cry, he answers. I heard a song this morning. I turned on a little playlist I have, and it sometimes kicks one in, and it kicked one in this morning based on Psalm 34. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him. That's my God. He hears prayer. No matter what's going on in your life, you can go to God, and he's a God who hears prayer. Doesn't that put you on shouting ground? I got to be careful. I could preach there for a while. God is a God who hears and answers prayer. But you know, the Bible makes an interesting statement about prayer when it says this. Jesus said, don't you know that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything, that it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven? I don't understand that. Why is there greater strength in praying in twos as there is in one? Well, God's a God that hears prayer. And I thank God that many times I've gone to God and individually talked to God about something and saw God do it. That always puts me on shouting ground. But Jesus said this. Jesus said, if two or three of you gather in my name, I'm in your midst. Now, I always thought that he meant the church. Two or three you gather in my name. That's how I've always applied it. Two or three you gather in my name. I'm there. I'm there. I'll be there. You're in my name. I'll be there. Two of you, three of you, I'll be there. But I got to studying that one day. In the literal context, he's talking about prayer. Because in the next verse he says, because if two of you agree on earth as touching a matter, I'm paraphrasing. Tell you what I'll do. I'll do that. I'll hear and I'll do that. Made me wonder, how long has it been since you prayed with a brother or sister about a very specific matter? Like if I said to you this morning, anybody here got a heavy heart over your children? Some of you, there was a time when you wept over your children and you've wept all the tears you can weep and now you just sigh. Somebody reminds you of your children or your children come to your heart and you sigh. You've wept all the tears you know how to weep. Now you just sigh. Some of you, well, you're your grandchildren. You cried over them. There's a time, broke your heart. And now you know what to do, just sigh. Life has a way of just bringing issues and problems and burdens along. But how long has it been since you got in unity with a brother or sister and prayed about it? The two of you agreed on earth and said, okay, God, you're a great God. And your word says, if we'll come in your name, you're there. And if you're there and we ask in agreement when you're there with us, that you will hear and you will answer that prayer. How long has it been since you prayed with a brother or sister about a very specific matter you wanted to see God hear and answer that specific prayer? And can I suggest to you that if you're an average congregation, maybe it's been a long time. That God's called us to be in unity. That applies to prayer. Where we're on the same page and the same mind and the same love and the same accord. Unity is vitally important in a marriage, in a family, in prayer, and in a church. Have you ever read that there was some folks in the church at Philippi that weren't getting along? You ever read that? You got your Bible open? Look at chapter 4. This one is a unique one to me. I love chapter 4. It's one of my favorite chapters in the book of Philippians. But in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says to them, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And then he just names two ladies. I beseech you, Odias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women, the ones that labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Did you catch what Paul just said there? Here's two ladies, and we don't know them. Euodias and Syntyche. Now, I think I've met somebody named Euodias, but I've never met anybody named Syntyche. That's kind of an unusual name, isn't it? Euodias and Syntyche. And here's what we know about them. They weren't getting along. They were in the church at Philippi, and they weren't getting along. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read the Bible, I'm aware of the fact these are real people. This was a lady named Euodias, and she's in heaven right now. And here's a lady named Syntyche, and she's in heaven right now. And here's what, one thing I didn't like about this text. He doesn't tell us what the problem is. I want to know. What did they do? What were they fussing about? I want to know when I get to heaven. And we're walking down the Gloryland Boulevard, and somebody says, hey, this is Euodias. I'm going to say it. What'd y'all do? That's what y'all do. I want to know. Well, what happened between you and Syntyche? I want to know. The Bible doesn't tell us. And maybe the reason the Bible doesn't tell us is because he doesn't want us to zero in on what they did. He wants us to see the principle he's trying to teach. Here's two ladies in a church that weren't getting along. And he says to them, you know what? You've got to help those two ladies get right and get on the same page. Euodias and Syntyche. Now, here's what's funny about Euodias and Syntyche. Euodias is a Greek word that has the idea of pleasant, beautiful. Syntyche means accident. Is that, why would you name your kid accident? I mean, what in the world? What were her parents thinking? Here's beautiful and here's the accident. I mean, what in the world? Maybe that's why nobody much names their kid Syntyche. You wouldn't want to name your child that. But all we know is they weren't getting along. And Paul comes along and says, you know what? We got to help these ladies. They labored with me in the gospel. These were ladies that went with Apostle Paul to apparently win souls. And they were very busy in the gospel, and now something is wrong. And you know, church, I got to thinking about this Philippians passage because Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church is a great church. And one of the dangers in a church in transition is disunity. And here's why. You know what happens in a church? We all have opinions. How many of y'all have an opinion, do you? And isn't it funny, the opinions in a church? Here we all love the Lord. We all have the same Savior. We're all Tennesseans, and we all go to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But it is amazing how different we can think, isn't it? We can have all kinds of opinions about everything. And I get to travel as an evangelist, and I love the opinions. Sometimes we have opinions about music. Well, I like it this way, and I like it that way. When I got married, I was raised here in Tennessee, and my family were bluegrass-oriented. My wife was raised in a church that considered bluegrass weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And yet I liked it. I liked it. I mean, I went to church and we would sing, one song could take 2 hours to sing. You know what I mean? Because they sang it slow and they felt it. Farther along we'll know all about it. Y'all know that? That's how I sang when I grew up. And my wife was like, oh my word, that's painful. And that can be in a church. We can disagree over music. We can disagree over outreach. The church I attend, the pastor came to our church after he became the pastor one night and got up and said, I'm going to make an announcement tonight, and you stay with me because this is an important announcement. I am officially canceling visitation. We're not having visitation at our church anymore. We're all like, how dare you? We are fundamental independent Baptists. He said, well, I'm canceling it because since I've been your pastor, me and two deacons are the only one that go anyway. So all of you that are offended out there who haven't been in 20 years, he said, need to get over and get right with God. It's like, okay. That's one way to say it. But we didn't really cancel it. He just changed it. He said, we're going to make some changes because God didn't call me and two deacons to win our town to Jesus. He called every member of this church to win our town to Jesus. So we've got to make some changes because what we're doing, you're not doing it. And so I'm going to find a way that you'll start doing what needs to be done because we've got to win this town to Jesus. And so we can disagree over outreach methods, can't we? We can disagree over dress. We can disagree over all kinds of stuff. I was in one church one time, and they were having a real problem in the church over coffee. Over coffee. Now, I like coffee. How many say amen to that? I like coffee. Praise God for it. I like it. But the pastor, the way he had organized Sunday school, he had put a little coffee bar in a certain place in the auditorium or the building, and people would come in early and get a cup of coffee and sit around and talk before Sunday school. And there was a family in the church got highly offended over that. Not because he had coffee, but because they came to Sunday school and there wasn't decaf coffee there. And I wish I were joking, but that church over coffee versus over caffeine versus decaf ended up having all kinds of problems and eventually split. Now, how many of you agree do I dare say this? That's dumb. Drink your coffee, and if you want decaf, then, somebody said to me, what would you have done about it? The one family, I said, well, bring your own. So if there's no decaf, go through McDonald's drive-through and get a cup. Say, I need a decaf coffee because my pastor's not right with God. Do whatever you got to do, but get over it. Let's be in unity. I was in one church, and the pastor really, really, he went out on a limb. And he said, our church is full, and we need more seating. And so we got together with our deacons, did some research, and found out that if we get rid of our pews and put chairs in, we can seat an extra 50 people with chairs as opposed to pews. So he said, in fact, here's what I discovered. We can replace the pews in our church and get chairs for $18,000. We could actually take the pews we have and redo them for $45,000. Or he said, we could just buy brand new pews, cost $85,000. He said, I recommend we spend $18,000 and get chairs, number one, because it's cheaper, number two, because we can seat more people. Oh my goodness, people got upset over pews versus chairs. I'm telling you right now, pews are godly, pews are what we've always had, and we're not going to chairs. People got so upset about that. So pastor, I had to hand it to him. He got up and he said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. He said, we're going to take an offering next Sunday night regarding our seating situation here in the church. And he said, if $18,000 comes in, we're buying chairs. If $45,000 comes in, we're going to redo these pews. And if $85,000 comes in, we're going to buy new ones. Your choice. I thought that's a good way to handle it, don't you think? So if pews are that important, then double your offering. Praise God. I was thinking, this is practical. Buy the chairs. $18,000 is a lot of money. But next Sunday night, people gave $45,000 and they redid those pews. But see, isn't it silly the things we can be concerned about? And they're all valid. They're all valid. Opinions are valid, but here's what God's called us as a church to be. Unity. We're to be in unity. There's four matters that brings unity. Do you know that leadership does? Leadership brings unity. Did you know that liberty does? Liberty brings unity. Liberty meaning that I'm free in Christ, and there's things that I may do that you can't do and things you may do that I can't do. And if I think right about liberty, brings unity to a church. Brings unity to the body of Christ. Leadership is key. Liberty is key. Did you know that love brings unity? He even says in our text, he says we are to be in the same love. I'm to love you so much that even if I disagree with you, it doesn't bother me. I'm to love you that much. I'm to love my church so much that even if sometimes they do things that I necessarily wouldn't do because the church body agrees to go one way and maybe it's not the way I go, if I love my brothers and sisters in the church, it brings unity to a church. Love is a key to unity. And I'll tell you that labor is a key to unity. When you're working together with somebody, how many of you have ever gotten a job and on the job you were assigned a partner and you're working with a total stranger and before that job came to an end, you were good buddies? Just because you worked together. In Wartburg, where I grew up, there was a guy named Wildchild. Oh, man, he was as mean as the devil. He had hair longer than any woman in this room. He was a drug dealer, drug user. I mean, filthy mouth. He was a vile, 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 wicked sinner. And in the coal mines, where he worked, in the coal mines, one day the foreman assigned him with a guy named Alvin Goad. And Alvin Goad and Wildchild started working together. And here's one guy that was a deacon in a Baptist church, a holy man. You know what I mean by that? Just one of those holy men. Even spoke King James English. How art thou? The Lord bless thee. I mean, this is a holy man. And he's working with the wickedest man in town. And they struck up a friendship because they worked together. And I was in church on the Sunday night when the back door opened. And Wildchild, with all that hair, and came in and sat by me on the back row. It's so mean, it made me nervous. I slid down to the end just in case. And I was in that service that night when Wildchild came down an aisle and got on his knees at the front of a building and was led to Christ, was born again. All because of a friendship, a unity that developed as they labored together. By the way, they changed his name in town. Everybody called him Wildchild. After he got saved, he became a holy man of God too. So they changed his name, called him Reverend Wildchild. And that's what they called him in town. No, I'm not making that up. That's the absolute truth. There's Reverend Wildchild. You wouldn't have known him 3 days after he got saved because he cut all that hair off. Didn't look like the same guy. Totally different man. But because two people got together in labor. In Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, church is more than coming and sitting on a pew. Church is serving together. Church is winning people together. Church is praying together. Church is on the same page laboring in the work of the ministry. Look at a couple of passages, and our time will be gone. Turn over to Ephesians. That's the book just before where you are there. And notice what God did for the church in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, notice what God did for the church. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. How many of you already knew that? Did you already know that? He gives to his church evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets. That was God's design. He's given some gifts to the church, and he tells us why in verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity, catch that word right there, till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all come in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, until we all come into the unity of a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, think unity, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. How many of you can see here that one of God's plans for unity in a church is leadership? Can you see that? God gives leadership. And one of the things you're going to find is that leadership is made up of people. And God puts leadership in his church to bring unity to the church. Because sometimes in a church we say, well, I think we ought to do this. Well, I think we ought to do that. I don't like this and I don't like that. And so here's what God does for us. God says, I know we all have different opinions, and we all have different ideas, and we all have different philosophies, and we all have different backgrounds, we all have different upbringings, and we all have different views, and so I'm going to put one of my men in charge of my church to bring it all together. Isn't that simple? So we have the privilege of leadership. And God's going to bring you a pastor. When he does, you'll have a new guy, new person, and God will put him in your church to bring unity to the church. So that when we all have different views and different opinions, and well, I wouldn't do it that way, and I don't like it that way, and I wouldn't brought that up that way. The fact of the matter is, I can say, all right, this is God's man for us, and so we're going to follow this man. We're going to follow. Now, there may be matters at times in an institution where there's a doctrinal issue. That's a different matter. Like if a man came to your church and got up and said, I just want you all to know I don't believe in the virgin birth, then I'd pull a gun on him and extradite him out of the building. You know, that's a little harsh, but I am a Tennessean, okay? And I don't have a gun on me, but I know one of you guys do, so I just borrow yours. And we'd escort him out of the building because there are some things that are right and wrong, black and white, and we got to take a stand for. But pews versus chairs, decaf versus caffeinated, little issues like that, those happen. Red carpet versus gray. You know, there's all kinds of things that will be different in a church. I just write down to you, I don't like red carpet, we ought to get gray. Well, then give $1 million and we'll put gray in. It's just easy to handle, see? But we follow leadership. God gives leadership. That brings unity. Am I making sense here? So God's going to give you leadership to bring unity to your church. And I'll tell you something else that's important in unity, and that's love. I'm going to skip the liberty one because that's a whole sermon. And for the next 5 minutes or so, I'll talk about the other two. Love is important. And you know, church, the fact of the matter is, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church ought to be known by its love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you carry the biggest King James Bible in the world and have really high standards and go to a Baptist church. He didn't say that at all, though I do all three of those. But what he said is, this is how the world will know you're my disciples. That is, if you have love one for another. And love in action. I care about you and you care about me. You got a need, I'll meet it. You got a burden, I'll help you carry it. You got a prayer request, I'll say it. I'm going to pray for you and I'll mean it. I'll write it down. I'll remember it. I'll take time to pray for you. I'll pray for you. And I'll genuinely pray for you. I'll carry your burden. I will fulfill the law of Christ. I will bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Because I love. You daddy's loving men. You mommy's loving ladies, you retired senior citizens, are you filled with love? Shame on us in Christianity that we're so stinking busy that we're all frustrated and irritated and edgy and bothered and always down and discouraged and depressed and filled with worry. That's not how God called us to be. He called us to be full of love. And love shows up in so many ways. That's gentleness, isn't it? Love is gentleness. I said to my son the other day, hey, here, bud, don't talk to your sister like that. God called you to be a man of God. You ought to be full of love. I know you were just teasing, but that was harsh. You ought to be loving, gentle, gracious, kind. Anybody can get up on the wrong side of the bed, but we are children of God. We ought to get up every day on the right side of the bed, full of the joy of the Lord, and love those around us, especially in the church. We're to love each other, be of the same love. Are you all full of love, glowing with the love of God? That's Christianity. It's one of the keys to unity is love. It leads to unity, which is why Paul says in our text in Philippians, what he's saying there very definitely is, make me happy, fulfill ye my joy. Be like-minded, having the same love. Love each other, have the love of Christ in your life, overflow with the love of Christ, and be for each other. You don't always have to agree with everything about each other, but you ought to be for each other. You ought to be willing to give up even says in the text, doesn't he? Sometimes I have to give up my preference and my right and my wishes because I love somebody so much that I'll let them have their way. That's the whole point here, isn't it? Don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteem other better than themselves. I ought to always think to myself, you know, he's better than I am. She's better than I am. I'll take their opinion this time. We're a culture that's so emotionally driven. My way, my right. That'll destroy us. That'll damage our marriage and damage our home and damage our prayer life and damage our church. Am I making sense this morning? Are y'all with me? God's called us to be united, and united we stand. It takes leadership. It takes love. And it takes labor. There's no doubt that it takes labor. We're to labor together. We're to serve together. We're to, the reason they're to be on the same page here, one accord and one mind and having the same love, is so that they can labor together for the cause of Christ. In Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, our generation, if we're not careful, our Christianity basically consists of our tithing and attending church. We're to labor together. We're to labor together. We're to labor together. We're to serve the Lord together. Every man in this church ought to be trying to win somebody to Jesus. Every lady in this church ought to be working to try to win somebody to Jesus. All of us ought to be laboring together to grow in Christ. We ought to be advancing in our Christian life and our Christian walk and our soul winning. That brings unity to a church. You know why it brings unity? Because when you're laboring together, the next thing you know, you got new converts, like having a new baby. Remember when you had a baby? Remember when your family had a baby, a newborn? Remember a newborn? How many of you had a newborn and you were caught off guard? Wow, this newborn's a lot of work. Oh, you ever remember that? Kids just come into your life and stay. They eat your food and their laundry never ends. I had a friend, he had a baby, and he had a little boy, Caleb. And when Caleb was 6 weeks old, I went to see him. I was there in the area, and I went over to their house. I got to see Caleb. He needs to meet his favorite evangelist. And so I went in, and I held Caleb. I prayed over him, kissed him. Beautiful little boy. He's 3 years old now. And as I'm sitting here holding Caleb, you know, rocking him, I call it the baby boogie. I was doing the baby boogie. And balancing little Caleb. And his daddy said to me, he said, I don't know if I can do this or not, Brother Dave. He said, I don't know if I can do this or not. He said, I haven't slept in 6 weeks. I have the gift of encouragement. So I said to him, well, let me give you some encouragement. It'll get better. Just give it 18 years. He'll probably move out. You can hang in there 18 years and all will be fine. He'll move out. And it happens, doesn't it? You older folks know that. And what seems like an eternity when you're holding a little baby, oh my goodness, am I ever going to get this child grown without killing him? I saw a meme the other day said something about girls and boys, and it said, girls, let's see, how did it say that? I can't remember the first phrase, but the last phrase it said, maybe it said, girls are more fun, boys are harder to keep alive. And having three sons, that's the truth. Boys are hard to keep alive. And you got to hang in there. But here's the thing. A little baby brings unity to a marriage. I remember nothing I couldn't do it on our own. I couldn't imagine being a single parent. What in the world? You know, somebody's got to get up in the middle of the night and sometimes I'd have to come home after I'd been studying all day or out with a preacher soul winning all day. I'd come in the house and Bethany needs a break. This labor on this baby brought unity to our marriage. Now we're a parent. We're parents together. We're raising this child. Labor brings unity. You know what needs to happen at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? We need to get so busy working. Next thing you know, we got babies all over this building. I'm not talking about twins. Though I'm fine with that. I'm praying about that. I'm talking about new converts. A new convert. Don't know what we know. Don't always dress the way we dress. Don't know what to say the way we know what to say. I was in one church, and a guy had this new convert in his church, and I heard the story. I wasn't in that service, but I heard a story that, and it was one of those southern churches, a little bit loud, you know, amen, amen, praise the Lord, come on, preacher, kind of churches. And the preacher got kind of wound up. He was preaching, and this one new convert, he didn't know amen, and he didn't know hallelujah, and he didn't know praise God. So somebody said right in the middle of his preacher's preaching, it was getting good, and this one new convert jumped up and said, well, hot dog! You know, Buffalo Ridge might could use a few hot dogs. Hot dog, isn't that wonderful? Now we'd all be like, for crying out loud, what's that guy thinking? We won our neighbor to Jesus, 14-year-old girl. My boys did, really. And she started going to church with us. She got saved. Started growing the Lord. Her family didn't know the Lord. She didn't know much about the Bible. And she didn't dress necessarily the way the rest of us did. And one Sunday she came across the street. She said to me, she said, Pastor Dave, she said, I'm so glad you guys are going home, are home this weekend because I want to go to church with you. She said, I can't wait for church tomorrow. And I said, that's wonderful. She said, Grandma took me shopping today and bought me a dress. She said, I'm going to wear a dress to church tomorrow. And I nobody ever, we never say anything about that. I mean, there's ladies in our church that wear slacks, and you know, a lot of our ladies would wear dresses, and apparently some of the teenagers did, and she noticed that, and she thought, I want to be like those teenage girls, so she went and bought a dress. And so the next morning, we got in our minivan, and we backed out of our driveway and went down. Then the cul-de-sac came back and kind of honked the horn, because she'd always come out and get in the van. I hit the little automatic door, opens, we're waiting on her, and I remember she came out, she opened the door, and she came out, and we were all like, she had on a dress. About as big as that little white flower right there. And I was like, I can't believe she's going to wear that to church. But you know, her heart was to please God. She had that dress on. She is so proud. She went and bought a dress, so she thought that would be more pleasing to God. And I wouldn't have let my daughter wear that. I'm telling you right now, I don't know what in the world. And she came to church dressed that way. And I know people in our church raised their eyebrows. What in the world are they letting that girl wear that for? But the fact of the matter is, she's trying to please the Lord. Her heart was in the right place. It's the first time in my life I've ever prayed, God help her wear jeans from now on. Never prayed that before. Lord, don't let her wear dresses. Don't let her wear dresses, Lord. Move in her heart to wear her jeans from now on. And that afternoon I sat down with her and I said, you know, I called her by name and I said, the Lord loves you and you're such a beautiful young lady and I'm so glad you're saved. I said, you don't have to dress up to come to our church. You know that, don't you? You don't have to dress up. Just wear what you normally wear. It'll be fine. And she said, seriously? And I said, seriously. And so she did. But she loved the Lord. See, the fact of the matter is, we get to laboring together. We'll get new converts in this church that are all messed up and have great needs in their life. And I'm just telling you to bring unity to a church. You get souls saved. You got to work on those baby Christians. And we're growing in the Lord. And they're sitting in our seat. And they're surrounding us. I'm telling you, God wants us to be in great unity as a church. And so we ought to work on our marriages, and we ought to work on our parenting, and we ought to work on our praying, and we ought to make sure as a church that we're on the same page, and we're going to follow leadership, and we're going to labor together, and we're going to love each other. That's the message of Philippians chapter 2. Have I made sense this morning? All right. May the Lord bless you and smile upon you and give you peace and great joy as we serve the Lord together in the morning service. Father, bless our time together at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Pour out your Spirit on us. Fill us with your power. Bless our worship service. May we sing with all of our heart. May we love every person that walks into this building today. May we be known by our joy and known by our love and known by our worship and known by the fact that you're first in our life. Bless the choir and Lord, save people today and move in a mighty way and just come down and pour out your Spirit and bless Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church congregation. And Lord, have your way. We submit it all to you. In the name of Jesus, I pray.